How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Josh Nason here on Figure Four Daily, August 24th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Couple of moments, we're going to be joined by Meathead. That's right, Matt Mitrione is going to be on the show of UFC fame, Kimbo Slice fame. We'll talk about his time on Ultimate Fighter, his record in UFC. He is currently undefeated. And for those of you that saw him in the first fight on Ultimate Fighter, some of you may find that astounding. But he has turned his career around. We're going to talk about that. First off, though, we've got Josh here on the line. Got a couple of things to talk about, including UFC on Fox. And also, Josh was lucky enough to see the film Warrior last night, which I had an opportunity to see, but unfortunately I was on the road. I didn't get to go see it, and I heard, Josh, that it was pretty good.
It was awesome. So I got a chance to see it last night. As you mentioned, kind of a press/test screening is probably the best way of putting it. And overall, I think people are going to love it. There's a lot of good things, and without giving any spoilers or anything like that, I think people kind of get the general idea of the movie that it's obviously based on mixed martial arts. There's an organization called Sparta that's going to do a two-night MMA tournament of all middleweights. And so it's 16 guys fighting over two nights and in Atlantic City. The UFC does exist, and it's actually mentioned in the movie, but this is just supposedly 16 of the top middleweights in the world, which is kind of one of those things that as you're going through the movie, there's a lot of Hollywood liberties that MMA people are going to have to take into account, or just kind of assume a chalk up to a Hollywood, I guess you could say. So it comes down to basically these two brothers, Tom and Brendan. They kind of grew up together. They kind of fell apart due to some family issues. Nick Nolte is their father, who is really great in the movie. So essentially, what happens is Tom comes back from the Army or the Marines. And needs someone to train him. He looks to Nick Nolte, who used to be a former boxer. There's a strange family relationship there. His brother Brendan is a school teacher, very much like Rich Franklin in a way. It felt like it was patterned after. So Brendan goes to Brendan's teaching. He used to be in the UFC, and his family is having a tough time making ends meet. Their mortgage is upside down, and so he has to go back into fighting to make some money. And so eventually, both these guys end up in this big tournament by pure Hollywood happenstance. And as it turns out, and they mention this in the trailer, the two guys actually meet in the finals, and how they get there is kind of a bulk of the story. So it's a mixed martial arts movie, but it's mixed martial arts is kind of the background. Really the biggest thing about it is just the character development, the family development, and even today I was just thinking a lot about the movie, and it's really good. I think people are really going to like it.
So the bulk of the story is how the two guys get to the finals, and in the trailer they spoil who's in the finals?
Yes, because it's brother versus brother.
I see. Now is this the same film that Kurt Angle lost a bunch of weight and had to play a Russian fighter?
Absolutely. So MMA fans will see a few people that will familiarity, I guess you could say. Nate Marquardt, Anthony Johnson's in the movie. Eric Apple is in the movie as well. There is a guy named Kevin Dunn in the movie, not the Kevin Dunn of WWE fame. Nick Nolte is in the movie. Kurt Angle plays a fairly big role as a fighter. He plays a Russian fighter named Koba, and he essentially, it felt like they tried to pattern him after Fedor, except with a lot more charisma. And so he doesn't have any speaking role in the movie at all, but he competes and pulls off, I was talking earlier about kind of the Hollywood aspect of the movie and some of the things that the liberties that MMA fans are going to have to kind of deal with. He pulls off a powerbomb in the movie during a fight, and which seemed a little bit ridiculous to me. He did I think it was either a belly-to-belly or a belly-to-back suplex against the fence, and that was a little bit interesting. So Kurt's definitely in the movie. He gets to play his MMA role that he's always wanted to do. He looks the part. He moved around good. The action scenes are really good. The stuff that he did was really good. So, yeah, it seemed to be kind of, something he's always wanted to do for real, and he got to do the play version of it as well.
So overall, a thumbs up.
Definitely a thumbs up. Absolutely. I think, yeah, from the MMA fans' perspective, I think they're really going to like it because the action scenes are good. Everything's logical. The plot progression is logical. The movie ends, and you definitely there's some rooting interest there throughout the movie that you kind of question as the movie goes. I think the character is really good. I think Nick Nolte is probably, depending on how many, you know, the right people see this, I think he could get a nomination for like a best supporting actor because he is really good in this movie playing this alcoholic dad. And again, without spoiling anything, you kind of see the reasons the why he became an alcoholic. And there's one scene especially in a casino that really even stuck with me today of how good it was. And the action's good, and you know the wrestling fans I think will get a kick out of it seeing Kurt Angle in there playing an MMA fighter. Overall, yeah, really fun movie, good high production values, and it feels like this movie's been talked about forever, so I'm just glad to actually see it hit, and it theaters on September 9th.
Now, what other recent MMA movies have you seen, and how does this compare to some of those? Your Red Belt, for example.
Yeah, actually, I have not seen any of those movies, just because of the kind of the reputations they've got. Like, there's Red Belt, I believe there was Fighting. There's so much like real MMA that you can watch on TV now. It just at the time those movies just had zero interest because I didn't hear any good positive buzz about them. I think this is going to be the one that kind of that really breaks through, simply because there's so many other aspects to the movie other than the actual fighting itself. And I think that people are really going to like this. And I think the non-MMA fans are going to like it. As far as, you know, whether or not it's going to bring new people into the sport to get people to watch it, I don't know. There were a couple points during the fight scenes I cringed a little bit just because, you know, nobody gets tired in these fights. There's no such thing as gassing out. And there's some believability there that it kind of goes out the window, especially if you understand the sport like we do. So there's some of that you have to kind of take into account, and you know there's some of the fights and progression of punches and the speed of punches and stuff that it makes it seem a little bit more brutal than it is, but I think they're just trying to get over that aspect in the movie. But overall, I think that, you know, I was in the theater with a good wide variety and a mix of people, and they were clapping after the fights. They were laughing at a lot of spots, and nobody walked out. And I remember when I did something similar to go see The Wrestler years ago, there were people who actually walked out during the match with a Necro Butcher, the really bloody hardcore one.
Yeah.
And people actually walked out. Nobody walked out during any of the fight scenes throughout the entire movie. And I thought that was a good positive thing. There were a lot of women there. And they seem to really get into the story aspect. So, yeah, overall, big thumbs up. And, yeah, I think people are really going to like it when it comes out. I really do.
How did this compare to the original Karate Kid? Because that was a great damn movie.
The original Karate Kid. Well, you do have the baby face, I guess you could say. The Daniel LaRusso type, the guy that's kind of fighting against evil. However, there's no real evil in this movie. I guess you could call Kurt Angle kind of the evil aspect of it. So there is that. There is a tournament. So I guess there's a relation there. Sadly, you know, spoiler alert, there is no crane kick in this movie. However, there are some other kicks, not a Anderson Silva kick or anything like that. But I think people enjoy it in a different way.
Now, before we go to Matt, I know you wanted to talk very quickly about UFC to Fox. Apparently, you believe that Dave and I have not talked about what a huge deal this is.
Well, I think you've talked about it. I think when you're talking about booking the actual show on November 12th, you know, I heard this show recently. I didn't feel like you guys were giving us enough weight in terms of how big this debut is, and that it came across as if it was this is just going to be a promotion for the Velasquez Dos Santos pay-per-view. And I think this is a lot bigger deal than that, simply because this is the first gateway for a lot of people in to watch MMA and in their debut. They can't pull a layup in this one. And I think that's the reason why hearing today and hearing yesterday, there's rumors that, you know, if Anderson Silva is to win his fight against Yushin Okami Saturday, the main event on that show on November 12th. And I don't think, I think that's a major fight. That's one you could definitely put on pay-per-view if you wanted to. But I think they're going to put two really big and important fights on that show because they can't treat that as a layup. And I think that has to get across more. This November 12th, just because it's an hour, this is a very, very big thing for the UFC. And there's no guarantee that even if they put an average show on there, that people would come back in 2012. So I think this is a very big show. And I would even argue bigger. It is bigger than the Velasquez Dos Santos show the week after.
Is Anderson Silva, Dan Henderson, the best fight for this particular show?
In my opinion, the best fight would be to put Dos Santos and Velasquez in this spot instead of doing the pay-per-view. And I know, you know, that flies in the face of, you know, people saying, well, you know, you can't do that because it's on pay-per-view the next week and blah, blah, blah. I think it's that important. I would put that fight a week up, and I would consider postponing that pay-per-view the week after or putting something else there instead. To me, this is your chance. This is your first chance to reach the mainstream. And if there's two things that people understand, the casual fight fan who you're trying to get for this, right? Prime time on Fox and make a big deal out of it. I think you're going to have a good chance to keep those people around and to have them sample other parts of the product. And again, people saying, well, you know, they're headlining the pay-per-view the week after. Well, then you make a change. You know, the UFC has made changes before. And I think that November 12th show is that important. I think that you have to, it's basically an all hands on deck situation. My idea would be to put, you know, Velasquez, Dos Santos for the title, and also put Ben Henderson versus Clay Guida in that spot. And that seems to be getting some momentum. I think that feels like it's nearly a guarantee or a lock to be on that show. I think you got to bring it strong with that hour, 15 minutes, whatever you're going to get. And, you know, I've also heard, you know, someone mentioned a good fight would be BJ Penn versus Carlos Condit. That would also be a great fight there. But I think, you know, your best scenario would be Velasquez Dos Santos and Henderson Guida. However, if you get a Silva Henderson, also I think that's great as well. So I think that the emphasis is going to be great fights and to sell people like this is what you're going to get from 2012 on Fox.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Matt Mitrione. It's very hot in this room, everybody. Matt Mitrione is going to be on in just a moment. We'll be right back with him talking UFC, Kimbo Slice, upcoming fights, Ultimate Fighter, so much more. So we'll be right back. Figure Four Daily, Brian Alvarez and Josh Nason. We are back here on the show. We've got Matt Mitrione and his young daughter here on the line. And Matt, how are you doing today?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing today?
Not too bad. Your daughter is almost a year old now. Is that correct?
That is very, very correct. She is about 9 months old?
Oh,
and she
goodness.
Is talkative and ready to stand up. Actually, she's standing up now. She's standing up on her own today. She will be walking pretty soon, I think.
You know, we don't get to talk to a lot of fighters about this because we're always talking about fights, but you are a father. You've got three kids. And is it... I mean, what's it like having to go out there and you train, you work your ass off, you're gone all the time, you got to go do these fights? I mean, does it get harder with each passing child?
It does, man. It does, actually. And the worst part is that it's really stressful at home. Like, because you miss so much, you know. Like, I was going training for my Moorcraft fight at Randy's out in Vegas, and I missed her two front teeth. Her two front teeth came in while I was gone. I missed her standing up. You know, there was a lot of stuff that I missed as a parent that I'll never be able to get back. So, I mean, that sucks and that's stressful, you know. And obviously, you hope you don't do that. You know, we hope you don't miss those things, but it's kind of the trade-off, you know. Like, do I take, how do I balance?
Is your plan to keep having children and being Elio Gracie with this giant family, or is this it?
I'm sorry, one more time now?
Are you planning on having more kids, or is this it?
No, I'm not having any more children. Not at all, I'm not. That's three kids is a whole lot of kids. Chris, my mentor, has four, and I don't ever want to match him in that. So, no, we're good.
Now you, of course, everybody first saw you in The Ultimate Fighter, and now you have gone on to have a 5-0 record. You're facing Chick Congo coming up on October 29th. And looking at your ascent as a fighter, you know, it's only been, you know, 2-3 years, and, you know, your early fights in Ultimate Fighter, I'm sure if you went on the message boards, a lot of people had a lot of things to say about those fights. How do you feel your improvement has gone in the last 3 years as far as a fighter? Are you kind of, is this where you thought you'd be? Are you farther than you thought you'd be, or where are you?
Honestly, man, that's an interesting question because I don't really have a good answer for that. And let me think. I got on the show in May of 2009, mm-hmm. and that was my start. So I think that I think in the time frame that I've been training actively, I guess I've come along, but really I don't see too much of my development. I see the holes in my game and the things I do wrong. much more than I see the things I do well or have improved on.
Now, when you watch fights with Chick Congo, do you see Chick Congo as, okay, this is by far my toughest test of all time? Or do you look at some of the past opponents you've had, a Tim Haig, a Christian Moorcraft? Do you see those guys as, you know, these guys were far more well-rounded than Congo? And not that you're looking past Congo or you're taking him lightly, but where do you see him as an opponent as compared to some of the other people you faced?
Well, I think that Chuck presents a whole new series of challenges. I think he's got a very aggressive ground and pound. I think he's got good wrestling when he gets himself in trouble. I think that you know, he's got very, very nice striking, and he's athletic. I mean, his last couple fights before his Pat Barry win. I guess he had a bad back, and like, you could tell that he really didn't seem that mobile and kind of seemed like a little bit more. A little bit more deliberate with everything he was doing. But then this fight with Pat, I mean, he looked fantastic. He was really light on his feet. He was switch kicking. He was very athletic, and he looked good. He looked very nimble. So I think this will be a really fun fight for me to really get in there and scrap with a guy who I know is healthy, who I know is ready for a scrap, doesn't have any kind of ailments that are lingering. If I'm fortunate enough to win, then I know I won't have an excuse coming from him afterwards. I'll be like, yeah, I gave him the best Chuck Congo possible. And if he kicks my ass, and, you know, it's like, hey, I gave him the best Mitrione possible, and he beat the brakes off me. You know, so one of those two, I know it'll be one of those two stories. I mean, it won't be anything that's sideways, you know.
You were one of the stars on the highest-rated Ultimate Fighter of all time. And, of course, you ultimately went on to beat Kimbo Slice. But on that show, I mean, you probably got a lot of these comments from fans of, you know, I couldn't stand Mitrione on the show, but once the show was over and I saw him fight in UFC, he's a much more likable guy. Do you think that maybe there was, I mean, when you watched the show back, was there a certain way that they portrayed you that you felt was unfair? Or do you kind of feel like, you know, I was in a house for a long time. Yeah, I kind of was, go ahead.
No, I feel that I feel it was a pretty legit representation. I mean, I was a dick on the show, and I was I was that way because of, you know, several reasons, which I'm sure are pretty well documented. But, you give a reality TV show a bunch of fodder and a bunch of film to work with, and then they're going to work with it. You know, that's what they do. And they're experts at that. So, I was pretty active with quite a bit. And, I could have been a lot better, as far as like behavior wise. But, I was kind of making sure that I was,
Now one more question will go to, Josh here, the new Ultimate Fighter on Fox, which is going to start in 2012, they are switching it up, and it is now going to be essentially live. They're going to tape week to week. The shows on Friday are going to be live on Fox. And that means these guys are going to have to be locked up in a house for 12 weeks, which is double the amount of time you guys were locked in the house. And would you do this again? Is this complete insanity?
For 12 weeks, I couldn't do 12 weeks. That would be way too long. And, you know, if something goes sideways or says somewhat stressful, that would be really, really brutal. So I wouldn't be able to do that at all. Plus, you got to think of something like you're sequestered, so there's no form of media of any kind at all. So there's nothing that you can, you can't watch anything, you can't read anything, you can't listen to anything. Like, on the 45-minute ride to and from practice every day, twice a day, you get no music on the van. You know, I mean, so, like, you're so far removed from what's going on that it's pretty stressful. When we first got out, my first two questions to the producers were, are we at war, and what's the dial? You know, you got no clue what's going on in the world. So that'd be a long time, man, especially if you have a family to be away for 3 months and not be able to talk to them. I mean, that'd be really difficult.
So right now, I know you've been traveling around a lot around the world, around the country, rather, doing different types of training. I know you've been Randy Couture's for a while. When did that start to kind of, I guess, branch out a little bit from Rufus Sport and try out some of these different schools around the country?
Well, Rufus Sport was good for me for Kimbo. You know, it was good for me to get a base of my stand-up and kind of really learn what's acceptable and what's not as far as my styles. But I also found out that Pat Barry is more my stand-up coach than Duke Rufus was. I'm sorry, my baby's about to go back to So I found that out, and wow, she's so loud. And as a result of finding that out, I also found out that that Coach Duke didn't have the wrestling program and the grappling program that I needed to develop more. And so that's why I left. And evidently, I mean, or eventually that's the reason why Pat left also. Because it just, Coach Duke, you know, has a good stand-up program there, but his grappling and MMA or wrestling just isn't there. So we had to leave and go find that elsewhere. That's the primary reason why Pat ended up leaving and going to Death Clutch. And that's the reason why I left and ended up at Randy's. Because it's just, I wanted to catch wrestling instead of jiu-jitsu. I know Randy has some of the best wrestling around, especially for MMA. And just kind of fit me well. And Duke's kind of was, it served a purpose, but then it was time to move on.
So did you, like, check out a few different places, or did you know that Extreme Couture was, like, the right place for you right away?
Well, Randy has a relationship that brings him back to Indianapolis more often than not. And as a result of that relationship, he and I crossed paths quite a bit and ended up talking. And then we did some work one day. And the work we did, Randy rode me like a pony for a while, for like 15 minutes. And I couldn't get off underneath him. I understand it's Randy, but I couldn't get off underneath him and I couldn't do this. And as soon as we got done, he was like, "Let me tell you what you did wrong, and this is the reason why you did it." And it made a ton of sense to me. And then from that, I kind of realized that if I went out to Randy's, that I would kind of be under his tutelage a little bit, and he would make sure that I was developing at the rate that he deemed appropriate. I trusted it. So I once that happened, that's when I realized that Randy's was the place for me.
I assume it must help, too, that you're competing day in and day out with other top-level fighters at Extreme Couture and training with Randy himself. I'm sure you're probably looking around at some of these guys that have fought, you know, years longer than you have and all this stuff. It must be a great experience, especially someone coming from a different pro sport and football, and knowing that, you know, being around some of the best often will bring out the best.
Well, yeah, absolutely, most definitely. And, like, that's the thing, like, Randy's, you've got, you know, I mean, just for the big bodies, there's names that most people haven't even heard of yet that are badasses there. You know, and, like, it's a mecca for wrestling. So, like, there are some wrestlers there that, you know, I don't know anything about wrestling. I don't follow college wrestling at all. But there are people there that I guess were, like, you know, top eight, top six wrestlers in the country their years that they were coming out. And they're out there just kicking everybody's ass, you know what I mean? And it's fun, that, you know, to get in there and be like, "Ah, damn, you took me down on this. Okay, this is the reason why." And then they explain a lot more, because it's really not, like, highly competitive in there, like, versus each other, but it's highly competitive to be like, "Yeah, I'm pretty damn good at this, so you better respect it." And that's fun, you know? It's a challenge, and, you know, some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail, but, you know, it's a great environment to learn, that's for sure.
Now, I want to ask you about Pat Barry. You mentioned him, and I assume you must still stay in regular contact with him, and just wondering kind of what, you know, what the relationship is now, and you know, the fact that you guys started out at Rufus together and now are two different camps completely.
Actually, it's funny. Pat and I, we are in two totally different camps, but we both travel a lot. We seem to be on the same, the same, like, appearance schedule. And whenever we get a chance, we fight each other. Like, in Milwaukee, we fight each other, and whether it's in Toronto, you know, we get a chance. "How you flying there?" "Yep." "Want to fight?" "Yep." And that's, you know, that's the basis of our conversations. But, you know, Pat and I are doing really well, and he's still my stand-up coach. I'm my striking coach. I was practicing in Vegas, as a matter of fact, and against Maurice Jackson, and we were working on some. Maurice Jackson's a 6'8" kickboxer, and has really long, great range, and a very, very athletic guy. And so he was helping me check with me, and we were working on my fight strategy. And something just didn't feel right, but I was trying to do what I thought was the correct thing to do. And I called Pat, and he's like, He's like, "This is the reason why this didn't work." He's like, "No, do this, this, and this, and this should come into play." And it did, and everything did. So Pat and I are still really good. We're very, very good friends. I have the utmost respect for him, and I think he does for me also. But he's my striking coach, and, you know, he's a guy that I can get in there and really tee off on him. Pat's one of the only guys in the world that I will, no hesitation, try to kick his ass, and he'll do the exact same thing with me. And as soon as we get done, if we're not in camp, we'll go grab beers and eat a barbecue chicken pizza at Brewski's.
Well, so I one thing I wanted to ask you about with Pat Barry is, I know in the past you've talked about forming a pro wrestling tag team with him. So I want to make sure, you know, things are good between you guys, so you guys can keep that and potentially get the WWE tag team titles at some point.
Pat and I are prepared for that. As long as the money's where it needs to be, Pat and I can do it. Team Meatberry is going to take over the world sooner or later.
Team Meatberry. That's a pretty good name.
Thanks, bud. There's like a double entente in there, too, if you really want to look for it.
And there is. Now,
how many times do fighters reference double ententes? Is that a can I claim that as one of the first?
I wouldn't say it's one of the first, but okay. it's certainly up there. It's certainly up there.
All right.
Now, going back to the show, I mean, Rashad Evans, what is your relationship like lately? Do you see him often? Do you see him at all? Obviously, you guys had some minor fireworks on the show, but how do you guys get along these days?
Coach Rashad and I get along great, man. We talk on a very regular basis. He and I, and it's really, to be honest, we hardly ever talk about fighting. We talk about our lives. There's a lot of parallels in our lives, especially lately. And we talk about that and how he handles this and how he handles that and how I'm doing it and which ones have had better results and the results that came out of it. And, so we talk a lot, and there's a lot of, our relationships was much less tumultuous than what it was made to look on the show. And now, like, we're pretty cool now. Like, Coach Chad and I text each other, before his fight with Tito, I texted him a couple days before and was like, hey, go earn your money, go get loose, and he responds back and we chat back and forth. So it's good. I've got no complaints.
Now, your fight at the UFC 113 with Kimbo, it was your second professional fight. You'd obviously had some fights before that, but it was your second pro fight. And obviously, I think for a lot of people, Kimbo had been exposed at that point. But when you went into that fight, he did have a reputation, going into Ultimate Fighter. And was there any sort of concern on your part? Was there anything like, this guy he's a dangerous guy? Or did you go in there just thinking, I have seen Kimbo train, I have seen Kimbo fight, I'm going to go in there and kill Kimbo?
I had never seen him train. They do a very good job at on tough that keeps the teams completely separated. Like, there's hardly any interaction between the teams at the gyms. And they do, the coaches actually make sure they do that as well, to make sure that usually as soon as, like, 5 minutes before they show up, we're wrapping up practice or just getting done with whoever, and if you're being iced or whatever, to make sure that they don't see you when you're getting iced. So I never saw Kimbo practice. But I had probably maybe less than 1% anxiety about fighting Kimbo. I was very, very comfortable with it. I feel that if it's going to be a striking war, then I'm going to come out on top most, probably 99% of the time against whoever. Maybe that's my own arrogance, but I believe that. And so I knew Kimbo. I had no clue that he was going to wrestle me. That really surprised me, that he was going to try to wrestle as much as he did. It is what it is.
You, of course, played for the Giants. You played for the Vikings, and then you're on Ultimate Fighter. Tell everybody a little bit about that path. What took you into MMA? When did you first see it? And what made you decide, I'm gonna try out for Ultimate Fighter?
It kind of came out of nowhere. Like, quite literally, I was had been training for about 6 months, and I got a text message from Ken Pavia, of UFC fame, that the Ultimate Fighter was doing heavyweights, and that because Ken represents Jake O'Brien and Chris Lytle. Jake was my main training partner, or I was Jake's training partner for a long time, and then Chris obviously was my mentor. But at that time, I was just kind of a face to Chris. We didn't have too much of a relationship other than him just being a cool guy. But I got a text that said they were doing heavyweights and that there might be some interest for me. And I think Ken and Chris threw words out to some people. And the word got out, and they were like, well, he's never had a fight before, but he's okay in the gym. And he's kind of unique. He's kind of a weird personality. And so I think through that and through those recommendations, they were like, well, let's give him a shot. So they brought that to Vegas, and I was abrasive and arrogant enough that they were like, yeah, this is a guy that we want to get on the show.
Now, what got you into fighting? I mean, you mentioned you've been training for 6 months, but what made you decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do? I mean, was it just something you were kind of doing for fun, or was it a deal where you just went, okay, one career over, I am going to make a go at MMA, and I am going to make it big?
No, not at all. I worked in corporate America. I started up a sports nutrition company, and I didn't want to use my savings from the NFL for that. So I worked in corporate America designing and selling employee benefit packages for corporations. And while I was doing that, I had a friend of mine named Jason Worth, who plays baseball for the Washington Nationals now. He called me up, and he was using our product, and he liked it a lot, and he asked me to jump on an amateur show for him. So I told him, yeah, sure, what the hell, might as well. So I started training for it. I had left corporate America by this time, but I had I started training for it, and then I got injured, so I couldn't jump in his show. But then, I think 3 months later, 3.5 months later, is when the Ultimate Fighter came calling.
So one of the things that you've done really well, you know, again, well documented about your transition from, you know, a guy in the Ultimate Fighter wasn't really well regarded or well liked, and all of a sudden you essentially become a fan favorite. And one of the things I think that you've done to achieve that is that your ability to, I guess, speak your mind very openly and honestly, and really sell yourself as something more. I guess did that was there kind of like an awakening one day, or just how did the Matt Mitrione, the marketing machine, I guess you could say, how has that come together, and who have you learned from, I guess, to kind of help you out?
And I think that my NFL background, my collegiate background. It's funny, like, that if you're good in sports, typically when you grow, well, you know, while you're developing and growing, you get a little bit more attention and more attention. So I'm kind of used to that. So I think that was something that just kind of, my natural hamming abilities, I think, kind of played into that as well.
Another fighter actually that's been well known for doing that is Tito Ortiz, and someone that you've had a few Twitter wars with back and forth, and I believe things are good between you guys right now. Is that right?
I've got no issue with Tito. I don't know if he's had issue with me or not. I mean, I haven't seen him since we had a little issue at the summit, but that was it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Good. And a few other things. One of the places that people can see you, or used to be able to see you a lot, you're in the Ariel Helwani show, the MMA show every Monday, and you used to do the Mitrione Minute, which was basically a good comedy routine. You used to bring in Sean McCorkle and so on. So I wanted to give you the opportunity. I haven't seen you on the show in a few weeks. You know, is there anyone you've been waiting to kind of burn on for the Mitrione Minute you might want to do right here in our show?
I sincerely appreciate that, the opportunity. I've always got them in my head. I just have to limit them. I started getting I started coming across more people that I was throwing heat on, because I'd throw heat on everybody, and I got to know them a little bit better, and I was like, oh, you know, I feel bad, I can't really throw heat on people, even though like Fitch is my roommate for a while, and I still throw heat on Fitch, but I think I know him well enough where I can, you know, I can throw heat at him because he knows it's just in jest. But I think I just, the more I get to know some more people, the worse I felt about throwing heat on them. So I think we might have hung it up.
Oh, well, if we've heard the last one, I tell you what, it was a good run.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
A few more things. One, Chris Lytle, a guy you trained with and essentially almost started out with, and, you know, he had his last run, his last fight, and obviously went out in a great way. And just interesting to get your thoughts on Chris and kind of go out in the blaze of glory that he did.
Chris is he's very important to my career, and he's a very good friend of mine as well. I think that we're roughly the same age. I think he's going to be 37 now, and I'm 33. And it's the way that he carried himself throughout his career. He was always game. He's always down. Injury, no injury. Good matchup, bad matchup. He's all down. And his work ethic was what really built Indianapolis, or Indianapolis hung their hat on, and the city's really proud of him. And, for him to go out that way, like to have a stand-up battle for a long time and then, switch a takedown attempt into a one-arm guillotine, I think is absolutely beautiful. So, I mean, it was great. I was so happy to see it. I was very, very nervous. I was stressed out for that fight. I was really happy to see it. I had all the confidence in the world in him, but, you know, when somebody cares about fighting, it's always stressful to watch.
All right, and finally, want to enable you to help the people of Las Vegas pick up some money. And I want to hear your pick for this Saturday, Brendan Schaub versus Nogueira. Wondering if you have a favorite.
An athlete, he's got great punching power. He's very athletic, very nimble, and he's got really good submission defense, which I don't think people have had a chance to see yet. So I understand that Nogueira's got two pairs of offensive jiu-jitsu, I think Nog will go out there and put on a show. I really expect that out of him. And he and I are good friends. I know he's in good shape. I know he's well rested and recovered, and he's ready to get after it.
Before we go, any Twitter, Facebook, websites, anything like that you'd like to get out there, sponsors?
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, we're starting a gym here in Indianapolis. Finally, Lytle, myself, Jake O'Brien, who's starting to make his comeback, Shamar Bailey, a handful of guys. We finally started the gym here, it's going to be the Integrated Fighting Academy, which I'm really excited about. We don't have anything up yet. Actually, we have a fan page on Facebook, so check that out. It's going to be the first ever Hayabusa-sponsored gym. So Hayabusa is going to do bags, mitts, everything in it. We have a very good working relationship with Dahmer. I think Dahmer's probably going to be the match. So I want to say thanks a lot. Good for you, Juice is also a major sponsor for this gym, so thanks a lot for them. Street Made is a clothing company, an apparel company, that is going to be buying its way into the UFC, so keep an eye out for them. They've been very generous with me and this gym also. So things are great, man. I just want to say thanks. And then Fahrenheit Nutrition, they've been really good with me, with my nutrition. They give me a lot of help. And also I'm working with Mike Dolce, the Dolce Diet. So I figured Chet Kahn goes in there and he looks so good that if I get out there and look even halfway sloppy, I'm going to look like a jerk. So I need to get toned up a little bit. So I'm kind of excited to get in there and look kind of sexy too.
Well, best of luck with that, and best of luck with the gym, Integrated Fighting Academy. You can find it up on Facebook, all the sponsors as well. And Matt, thanks again for doing the show today, giving us your time, and best of luck with everything, and hope all goes well.
Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it, and pacifiers are an awesome thing for babies.
Yes, they are. And thanks again, everybody. We shall talk to you again after a while.
Right on. Thanks, brother. Y'all be easy, man.